Hey friends, over 60% of you are listening to me right now on an Apple product. iPhone, iPad, iTunes. I need your help. The truth is, Apple will make this podcast more discoverable to new listeners the more reviews it has. So I'm here asking you to take a moment and leave a review. If you've gained any value from this podcast, the greatest thing you can do for it, besides spreading the word and telling friends, is leaving a review. It's real simple. If you're on your phone, head over to my podcast page within the Apple Podcast app and leave a review. Or if you're on a computer, you can head over to my podcast page within the iTunes app. That's it. That's all I ask. And if you have other podcasts that you love, do them a favor and do the same for them. It'll make their day. Now let's get this podcast started already. So fired up, man. I gotta tell you, I was planning to really make a rebirth into YouTube. I really wanted to refocus effort on YouTube as a platform, but today I think that entire strategy goes right out the window. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, no doubt. Instagram is literally changing the game.
They really are. But you know, before we get this podcast like too far in, man, I mean, yeah. You had me on yours. Now I know you've heard some of my stuff. We just roll right into this, man. There's no fancy intro. We don't do any of that. The music comes Sounds in. Good. They hear us talking like we're doing right now. So I would be remiss if I didn't start out this podcast by saying Blake Croft or Blake A. Croft on Instagram. What's your something?
My something is what's your something? Something.
I love it. That's a great answer.
Yes, that's awesome. No, but for real, I've been loving this podcasting journey, Gary. Like, and having other friends that I've encountered on social media that also, they're doing podcasting, and it's a really cool community. It really is.
Yes,
and I've just enjoyed, I've just enjoyed putting content out there. Like, for the first time, I feel in the zone, you know? You ever feel that way? You ever
feel man. In the zone? I'm feeling it right now, brother.
Yeah.
No, I gotta tell you, dude, I found out about you through Bree Palmer.
Yeah.
She posted something in a story or something. I think she was plugging your stuff. Maybe it was her appearance or something like that on your podcast. And I said, who is this Blake Croft guy? I click on the page. And you're doing the Instagram lives. This is when you're like batch recording, your first 12 or so episodes. And I just got hooked, man. I was like, I love the format. You have a great Southern accent. I like the Southern accent. Tennessee strong right there, my man. And
That's right.
And I just, I got hooked on your podcast, dude. Now, I've been doing podcasts for 11 years. I'm not proclaiming to be any kind of professional, because if you look at my track record, which people are hearing as I tell the story of everything not to do in podcasting through my previous efforts, I'm far from a professional, but I've been around this game long enough. And I think I can kind of, as far as my personal preference, see what I like, what I don't like, who I think is good and who I do not think is good or what have you. But dude, you're in the zone, man. You are delivering Thanks. Through and through, and you just went daily. Like, what could possibly be better than a daily Blake Croft podcast?
Yeah, you're not the only one that said that, and that just so shocks me, because I think we undervalue ourselves, Gary. And I think and I talked about this in our conversation on my podcast. We don't understand the value we really give away sometimes.
This is so true.
We don't understand the impact that we make. And it has amazed me how people they're saying, there's nothing better than a Blake Croft daily putt. And I'm thinking, I'm just Blake Croft. I'm little old Blake Croft from Tennessee. And all I'm doing is just sharing with you my story. I mean, and giving you just some good stuff and good happy thoughts. I mean, but there's something about it. Like, people are really getting engaged, and it's awesome. And it's not about me. It's that they're getting engaged because it's inspiring them to go out and tell their story. And that's really what it's all about, you know?
There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you're speaking real stuff that I think anybody can identify with it. You and I had a conversation probably a week or two ago through a DM about following our dreams. Now, you had a podcast that you posted. I think I had a podcast maybe a week later that was kind of in the same vein. And I really felt like we were really on the same wavelength here. Like, you know, and so going back to that, your message is so relatable that, you know, I didn't know you were doing a podcast about fighting for your dreams, or essentially, you know, that was your message. And you didn't know I was doing a podcast about fighting. Like, it's very relatable, Blake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So relatable. My jaw dropped when I heard this podcast, because I knew that I had mine scheduled and ready to go. And I'm like, oh my God, man, we're on the same deal here.
Yeah, it was like one or two in on the daily podcast. And I was just like, you know, why am I even an entrepreneur? Why did I choose this? Why do I want to pursue this? Why? You know, and it's because of this love hate relationship that I have with the way my life right now is.
Right.
You know, work wise. And it's like, we are at this point in history where if you're unhappy with what you're doing, you don't have to stay there.
No.
There are so many opportunities, and you just have to be willing to put in the work that it's going to take to, you know, pursue some of those opportunities. But they are out there. I mean, like you with your clothing line, okay? Yeah. I mean, you know this, but there are some people who don't understand that if they had an epic t-shirt idea and they had the right strategy to get it out there, to create it and then get it out there, that they could make bukoods of money.
That's true. It's true. But it's got to come from a real place. And I think that that's like, you know, like your podcast, it comes from a real place. You starting your business, it all comes from a real place. My clothing line came from a real place. Like, I was overweight, and I had this saying that I coined this phrase on an Instagram. What do they call that? The description of the post. And people, it just resonated with people. And I said, well, wait a minute, there might be something here. And so it's got to come back to a real thing. And I love what you said. Now, I don't know if it was today's podcast or the day before, but you had a podcast where you just talked about just going with it. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like, you talked about the quality of your podcast. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just got to put it out there and be the true you. And I love that, because I've gotten some constructive criticism about my podcast through and through. And I've not shared this yet, but we'll share it here because it's very relevant. Some people say, well, you know, I hear you yawn in a podcast, or I can hear this background noise in a podcast, or I can hear this or whatever, or sound like you were trailing a little bit too long on this. And I said, well, you know what? Here's the deal. This is the most realist and authentic me. So what in the end, the podcast may not be for everybody, but the people that stick around and listen are the people that I truly want, because they truly get the real, authentic me.
Absolutely. You know,
I could do a podcast all day long that's slickly produced, bumpers in and out, just like old radio, like I used to do with in the day. And I'm not to say that wasn't real, but I mean, I could do a much more polished production is where I'm trying to go with this. But I wanted this podcast to be as real and as raw as possible, so that people listening felt like they were getting the real me.
Well, and you know, what's cool about real and raw content is that, you know, it shows people that they can do the exact same thing.
Correct.
Like, it goes back again to, we're at this time where if you're passionate about something, the barriers are so low to get your voice out there. And so when people like you and I and Todd Bergen, Todd.live, when he's producing episodes and he goes into a yawning fit, he doesn't edit it out.
Right.
He could. He very well could.
Yeah.
He's got the software, more than enough software to edit it out. I've got it. You've got it. But why? It just removes the human element of what we're doing.
Exactly.
And we need more human in what we're doing right now. And I'm actually in a hotel room in Lima, Ohio, and the conference that I've been attending has been all about recapturing the human experience in marketing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you got to realize we're not dealing with, as Brian Kramer said today, we're not dealing with B2B or B2C anymore. We're dealing with H to H, human to human. You know, you are selling to a human being. So treat them like a human being. Would you want salesy stuff on your feed? No.
No.
You want to be talked to. You want relationship. You want to, you know, you want to laugh. You want to be entertained. You want to be educated and inspired. So why are you trying to spend so many ad dollars to on a salesy post that you know is not going to get you anywhere? Be human and don't be afraid to, you know, just show that anybody can do this, you know?
No, you're right. I mean, I'm fighting this machine in the fitness world. Okay. So I document my journey, for instance, and I get people in my DMs all the time trying to sell me something. Here's these pills. Here's this wrap.
Yep. Yep.
All day long. And I've got to fight this machine and it's an uphill battle. You know, and I wanted to share my story because I know I've come from experience where I used to be this person that spent all this money thinking, well, I got to buy X, Y, and Z before I can even begin. And that's not even the truth of the matter. And I see this every day. People, it gets in their heads. They think they need all this stuff to get started and they really don't. I mean, it's just unreal. Like I literally, Blake, on this particular journey, I just started going to the gym. I started walking on a treadmill, turned into running on a treadmill, turned into going 300 flights on a Stairmaster, which turned into losing 100 pounds. And it wasn't some fancy crash diet. It wasn't, some ab belt that gyrates your tummy that magically makes you lose weight while you watch television. It was just patience, consistency, hard work, love yourself. End of story. So I know exactly what you mean. You talk about all the salesy stuff. I don't want all that stuff, but unfortunately, it's an unfortunate reality of social media. This is what it's become. You have the real people like me, people like you, like Bree Palmer, Todd Bergen. The list could go on and on. But then you have all these salespeople, and they're out there. Yep. They're the sharks in the water. Fortunately, we can turn them off. You know, we can you know, get them out of the way. But what I like about like what you do, you know, you run a business, but when I come on your page, I just feel like I'm getting a ton of value. I talked to Cliff Ravenscraft. He's a guy that's been on my podcast. We connect on Instagram. You know, he has a ton of stuff to sell. And I told him, because he had some kind of rant in his Instagram story about people being too salesy. And I said, dude, you know, I know you've got a ton of stuff to sell people, but here's the difference. You're offering a ton of value. Your podcast every week average between an hour to 2 hours, and you're doing nothing but giving value, casually mentioning here and there, I have this product or I'm doing this. He's doing some Free the Dream conference. And, but he's not overly salesy about it. And that's what I appreciate about it.
Right.
You know, and that's what I appreciate about your page, because you don't do all that stuff. You just give nothing but value. And then you say, oh, by the way, I've got the stuff here.
Yeah, I've come to discover. And again, Brian Kramer talked about this today. He said, the more you go above and beyond to provide the most valuable stuff that you can provide, you will win every time. And people are missing that. Like, salespeople and marketers, and even, you know, in the health industry, in that case, they're missing it. Instead, I get it. You know, they want to make money.
Yep.
I understand. I get it. But you have to do it in a way that doesn't make you look like a scumbag.
Yeah.
you have to be the one out there providing so much free value that when it comes to the point in that person's life where they say, I really need help with this, you're going to be the first one on their mind.
100%.
And if those health people that blast you with sales messages every day just started just casually and genuinely interacting with you and your posts,
right,
and providing you great health tips and advice for nothing, and gave you maybe even workout plans and meal plans, and they just gave. And then one day they said, oh, by the way, I have these, you know, I have these vitamins. I think they might be helpful to you or whatever. You know, at that point, it's not, oh, you're just selling me something. It's, well, I really trust you now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, your content and the value that you've provided to me has done something for me. You are one to be trusted. So I am okay with those vitamins because I know you're not leading me in the wrong direction.
Oh, 100%.
If you're just blasting cells at me, I don't even know who you are. And if you could even be trusted, you could be selling me dirt in a bag and I'd never know.
Oh my God. I have to tell you about this DM I got today. It's from this guy. It says, "Hey, I see you're into fitness. What if I told you about an opportunity that could turn fitness into helping others and maybe even an income? Would you be interested?" Like, how do you even start a DM like that? I mean, you're into the sales. Let's see.
Yeah.
One more. "Hey, Gary, I love all your picks." So this seems like it's a little more personal.
A little bit, killing
your fitness journey. "Any interest in starting a health wellness system with me? I've been using it for about 5 months. And have done a total 180 in my physical and mental health as well, and learned a lot, is improved my energy. I love it. I was tired of seeing everyone else's before and afters and wanted my own. It's really simple to follow and tastes great. Want to give it a try? I'd be one-to-one coaching you through the entire process." Again, that's a hard no for me, bro.
See, they should have stopped at "you're doing awesome, love your pictures." if they would have just started a relationship. Started a conversation. When I DM people,
because I
if someone follows me, I will send them a DM, and they probably think a lot of the times that it's an auto DM because it's usually right after they follow me.
I can verify this.
Yeah, but I say, "Hey there, you know, I'm excited that you followed me. I'm all about connecting with people on social media. That's what social media is about, is being social." And then I say just one simple thing. "If there is any way that I can serve you, you feel free to," and this isn't the exact words, "but feel free to let me know, you know, in what way can I serve you?" And you will not believe some of the responses that I've gotten back. And I always ask, you know, "How did you find me and how can I serve you?"
Right.
And it turns the conversation from here's what I have to offer you to what are some issues you're dealing with that maybe I can help you with, or can direct you to people that can help you. So,
and you know, the thing about it too, is they can't be making a ton of money with a strategy like this. Like, who the hell is just taking cold call DMs all day long? Yeah. Who's like actually engaging with that and actually saying, I would love this stuff.
I would totally love to. Yes. I don't know you at all, but I would love your health system.
Speaking of which, Blake, tell me how you got your start, man. I'm so curious how you got started in your entrepreneurial journey. We all have a beginning. We all have somewhere where it kind of becomes like, man, I really think I could do this. How do we get there with you? How does it happen?
A long, windy road.
Okay.
I mean, in all seriousness, you know, and it's still a windy road. And it's really cool. This conference, people ask me, they come up to me and ask, you know, like, "What do you do? What's your story?" And basically I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm in the beginning stages of what it means to be an entrepreneur and what it means to be a marketer. And, you know, I'm still currently full-time employed. I work in retail management.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that from the podcast.
Yep.
And it's a love-hate thing. But yet in the back of my mind, I've always known that I'm, like, made for so much more than just this. Like, I'm 25 years old with still three quarters of my life left, you know, Lord willing.
You're a young man.
And so I don't want to do retail management the rest of my life. So jumping into the entrepreneurial world has been a crazy journey because, you know, it's still all about figuring out what's your something.
Yep.
And that's the whole point of what's your something, is I want to talk with entrepreneurs who have been there. They've been through the trenches, they made it out, and they know there's something. And so I always say this to the listeners, this podcast is not only for you and for you to help tell your story boldly, but it's for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning every Monday when those episodes drop, I'm learning new stuff about how entrepreneurs that are really doing it right now, how they got through the fear, how they, you know, boosted their own confidence to push through when times got hard. So that's kind of me right now, is that I almost let fear ruin everything, and not anymore.
you know, you got to kick that fear to the curb and get it out of here. And so it's just a journey, and it's all about that journey for me right now. And I hope to look back, you know, 1.5, 2, 3, however many years it takes, and pull up this podcast one day and say, wow, you know, I was here in my journey, and now I'm where I want to be, or I'm 5 steps further to where I want to be, you know? And that should be always the goal for everything. You always want to be looking forward, never backward. And I almost let fear keep me backward. So never let that happen. Never.
Isn't it amazing though, Blake, like how powerful and how destructive at the same time our minds can be?
Yeah.
Can that blow you away, man?
We could be our best friend or our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, we really can. We get inside our own heads, and it can really mess up your thought process about, you know, certain things, not just even in the, you know, entrepreneurial world or fitness world. It can just mess in any aspect. So you know, guard your mind, you know.
Yeah.
Faith is a big thing for me, so that's how I guard my mind, you know, is my faith and trust in God. And I don't hide that. That's part of my story. But for others, it may not be that, and that's okay. But you always need that outlet, whether it be talking with someone or whether it be, you know, even reading and just meditating, or some people do yoga, you know, whatever it is, you know, always keep your mind healthy so that when those thoughts creep in that say you can't do it and you're not going to make it and there's no point in continuing, that you can kick those to the curb real fast.
Definitely. What kind of issues do you run into, you know, trying to start up your own business? Cause I think that's one of the things that scares the hell out of a lot of people. It scared the hell out of me for a long time. Like what kind of hurdles have you had to jump through to get this thing off the ground?
Again, my own mind and thinking that that my voice doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A lot of it for me was just getting that out of my head. Yeah. I had to get out of my head and say, you know what? You've just got it, whether it's going to be good or not, you've got to be willing to just put it out there. And so for me, it was just gaining that confidence in myself. And because I knew the techniques and the methods and what I needed to do.
Yeah.
You know, it was just taking action on it. And so that was really it, is just taking action. And when I took action, I mean, I'm just 28 episodes in, and, you know, I already feel like things are shifting. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That things are going in the right direction. And so that I'm happy. I'm excited about what's to come. And, you know, another hurdle is just for so long I focused on what I thought I needed to do based on what others were telling me.
Right.
I didn't do what I should have done based on what I'm good at. Like, for so long, I thought, man, I need to write a blog post every freaking week.
Like, yeah.
two or three a week.
That's even what we're told.
Yeah. I mean, content is king. You got to get that content out there. And at the time, blogs were content. And I even heard it today. Mike Alton said something about blogging, and a lady was there, and she was like, yeah, content is king. And I'm thinking, content's not just a blog.
Yeah.
You know, and my weakness is writing. It is not my strong suit. I can do it, but I don't enjoy it. And so for so long, I wasted time blogging when I knew that I needed to be spending time doing video and doing podcasting and focusing on things where I can talk, because I can talk better than I can write.
That's right. You got to put out the strengths and hide the weaknesses. I agree 100%, yes. Dude. I'm not good with writing. I've tried. I used to run a wrestling website writing news coverage, and it was not my forte. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Podcasting all day long, I could do it. I remember 2007, there was a website called Blog Talk Radio that was just getting really started, and I started a program called The Shoot in April of 2007, And they said, all you need is a phone and a computer and you got a radio show. And I'm taking live calls and I'm just amazed at that delivery mechanism in 2007. Now you fast forward now, we're in 2018, 11 years later from the time that even I started, and podcasts even predates that. I think it goes back as far as 2005, 2006, roughly. So you think about how far it's come in that amount of time. I mean, it blows me away. I mean, when did you first find out about podcasting? I mean, forget, you know, when you wanted to start one, but how long have you even known about podcasting? Because I'm always fascinated to hear when people got into podcasting.
I've probably known about podcasting since probably 2013, 2014.
Wow. Okay. That is fascinating.
I mean, it's pretty early. I mean, pretty late in the game, really, according to, I mean, if it's been around since 2005, 2006.
Right.
But I'm still a youngster, so.
No, I understand. That's why I'm fascinated, Blake, because, you know, and I think also, you know, the iPhone helped out a lot, too. I know you're a team iPhone like me. I think that helped out the discovery a lot more of the podcast, because back at the times I'm talking about 2007, 2008, a lot of us are still on iPods. And it was very tedious to get a podcast on an iPod, because back then you still had to plug it in to your computer to sync it up, which is pretty crazy now we just download it from our phones.
Yes. and the cool thing is that podcasting is making a comeback.
Oh dude, is it?
Like, I am so excited to be at what I feel on the forefront of the podcasting resurgence.
Yes.
Because I mean, we are in this age where so many people are in such a hurry that they don't have time for video much anymore. I mean, even short form, but they will sit in their cars, they will put in earbuds and run, and they will listen to podcasts.
No, this is so true. I remember hearing a podcast. Now this goes back 3 or 4 years, probably around the time you started listening. I have to reference it again, cause I think he gives a lot of value. Cliff Ravenscraft did a podcast about why you should be doing a podcast, and the stats just 4 or 5 years ago was there are over 450 million English language blogs. There are 250,000 podcasts. Which pond do you want to jump in? Now, I'm paraphrasing there, but that was the general message. Like, and the fact that it doesn't require screen time. People can just put you in their ear and go about their day.
Exactly.
That's powerful.
That number has not went up that much.
That's true.
I think maybe we're at 500,000 podcasts now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still so much room for growth in the podcasting world.
Oh yeah.
And I think, you know, with platforms that are popping up like Podbean and Spreaker and Anchor, you know, that's just making podcasting more accessible. You're going to see everybody and their brother, you know, starting to tell their story through podcasting, whether it be good or bad. I mean, you know, podcasting is just going to be something that I think is becoming, is going to return as a norm again. I mean, the fact that I can go home right now and I can go, and I hope you don't have a Google Home device, because I'm going to say, okay, Google, but, okay, Google. Yeah. Okay. Google, play what's your something podcast, and Google will start playing it now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Same with Alexa. You have to train Alexa a little bit. You have to set up a skill, I think, but with Google Home now, and if your podcast is set up in Google Podcasts, you can go, okay, Google, play what's your something, and it will play your most current episode of whatever podcast you tell it to play. And you could be anywhere in your house and have that speaker there, and there you go, that you're listening to podcasts. In your car, you have Apple CarPlay and Android Audio. Same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere accessible right now. You can't watch video in the car. You can watch video if you're working out, if you want to crack your phone screen.
So, I mean. That is true.
So if you want to be safe and keep your phone, you better be listening to podcasts while you're working out.
Well, and I'm even amazed. Yeah. I'm even amazed at, you know, because a couple of years ago I was doing live internet radio, and I'm even amazed at how kind of far down that's gone and how much podcast has risen. And it really goes back to the attention span that you have with the people. Not everybody wants to listen live. I mean, I battled this for years, you know. It's like you might get, I don't know, 15, 20 people listening live if you had a guest, maybe 50, 70, whatever. But the podcast number is drastically different. And I think that the writing is on the wall at that point. Now, you know, that's not to say that live radio doesn't have its place, but you really got to have some banger content. You got to be a destination appointment listening, or else you're not going to succeed in that world.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
But I notice you're using the Anchor platform, and I am fascinated with that. I'm still kind of learning that. I'm testing that with my newer wrestling podcast, but you've been using the Anchor platform. What's been your take on how Anchor has really come in and really reignited this podcast resurgence that you spoke about?
Well, with Anchor, their tagline is the easiest way to make a podcast ever. And they're not lying.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on there, and now, especially since they gave you the ability to upload your own files, you know, from outside of the app, if you wanted to, you literally can create and publish a podcast with them, depending upon the length of your podcast, of course. But in my case, I can have my podcast recorded, scheduled, and everything ready to go, you know, all done from mobile devices in like 15, 20 minutes.
It's so convenient. I was checking out the iPad app yesterday, and I was just blown away. I don't know if you've heard about this, though. I was on Twitter, and there's been some kind of uproar, I guess, apparently something in their terms of service. Have you heard about this?
It's probably along the lines of Anchor. You don't own your RSS feed. Is that it?
Yeah, that they're saying that you don't own the content. They grant an exclusive right to your content. They can edit, modify, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. A lot of people are in an uproar about this, but I'm kind of in a different boat.
Go right ahead. I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
No, I'm in kind of the stage where I want the more people to get my content the possible. So if it blows up and they, you know, if they have the ownership and they want to put it wherever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want it to get as many ears as possible. Now, the only part where I have the problem with it is if they're saying, hey, we own it, but by the way, we're going to monetize it and not give you a dime. That's where I have the problem. But as far as leaving the money part of it out, because I don't give a damn about the money, honestly. And that's, people might say, oh, you're so full of it. I do this thing for free. I'm sitting here recording a podcast with you at 10:30 at night. I could be sound asleep, but I'm wide awake. I'm energized. And I love talking with you, Blake. So here's the deal, man. I don't give a damn about the money. I've been doing this thing. I've been operating this thing at a loss for years, and I don't have a problem with that, because it's a passion. It's just like playing in a band. You're playing in a small club. You might make enough money to get to the next town, you know, gas money. I do this thing as a passion, so I don't care about the money, but I think that I want it to get out to as many people as possible. So depending on what that really means, and they could be taking certain words out of that terms of service, and they may think it means one thing and Anchor says it means another. That's very much at play too. Where are you at with it?
You know, I'm thinking maybe just from my thoughts, I get it that people are a little bit upset about that you don't really own the RSS feed.
Right.
Anchor's name is also on your podcast there on iTunes. I get it. But it doesn't really bother me. Like if it ever comes down to a point where I think Anchor's abusing, you know, my relationship with them, you can bet I'll just ask them, you know, hey, I need to move my RSS feed. And they even tell you on their website, they will do that for you.
Right.
So, but you know, what I'm thinking about this owned content deal is that, you know, Anchor as an app has like a discover section, and, you know, it categorizes your podcast, and Anchor is the one that determines all of that. You know, what's going to be on the discover something. And maybe maybe that's what they're talking about. We own that. We can put your podcast here at any point, or we could take it away at any point. You can be on the Discover. You could not be on the Discover, find something new, whatever. I don't think they're in it to ruin relationships with people. Why would any business do that?
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. So like if they're going to do that, then they're a crappy business to begin with. And we have every right to move our podcast.
Yeah. They don't own you.
If you're a good podcaster, you're going to have all your files backed up anyways.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, just take them to a new host. If you have to put in a little bit of extra work and make it happen. But I don't think that's Anchor's goal. Anchor's goal is ultimately to monetize us. They want our money. And I will give them money because they have an awesome platform. And, you know, I'm waiting for their monetization model because I want to give them some money.
I can't believe they're not doing it already.
I can't either because, you know, they could easily already. I pay $10 and they give you the option to turn it off for free.
Yeah.
And I have. I've turned off their pre-roll or post-roll ad or whatever. And I've took off their logo from my album art. So, you know, that's okay, but they could make me pay for that and I would pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a little, you know, in-app subscription that you buy in other apps. I would pay like $5.99 or something to get your logo off my album art. It's not a big deal. I want to support things that provide me value.
Absolutely. If it's worth it, you know, the market will come. If you've got a valuable product, the market will show up. They will show up and support you.
Exactly. So I have nothing but good to say about Anchor. And I know there's so many, there's just one, and I hope she doesn't listen. I don't think she does. Cause there's just one woman that she still uses the Anchor platform, but all she wants to do is whine about it. And I'm like, shut up and go somewhere else.
Yeah, no kidding.
If all you want to do is just complain about why Anchor isn't what you want it to be, then don't use Anchor. Go to Spreaker. Go to Podbean. Just shut the crap up about complaining about Anchor. Just go somewhere else.
that's the crazy thing. I have to ask about this. Do you ever encounter these like trolls on social media? Because I feel like there's a lot of them out there. I've been fortunate that not since my old radio days where I kind of stirred it up a little bit. That was a little bit more on me. But nowadays, I don't deal with this nearly enough. But they're out there. You ever have to deal with that along your journey?
I haven't really dealt with any yet. I mean, I've got a few like of the live streaming trolls that like make fun of my double chin or whatever. I'm like, whatever. Okay. I know I have one. It's not a big deal.
Right.
But, when it comes to the podcast, I haven't heard any negative things yet. I know I will, and that's okay. And I'll listen because I know people probably listen to some of my podcasts. And they're like, oh Lord, get that noise out of there. That background noise, birds chirping and cars coming by. It's like, get that out of there. And you know, I just right now I am enjoying being able to talk into my watch, hold up my wrist and talk into my watch and record a podcast. So if a little bit of sound bothers you, I'm sorry, but it's so cool that I can go into a quiet-ish area and a thought pops into my brain and I can talk it out. You know?
Yeah. I love the ambient noises. I did a podcast, not too far ago where I interviewed this guy, Ryan, from Instagram, just somebody I met on Instagram. And we were I met him down in, Charleston, South Carolina when I was on vacation. He lives in Myrtle Beach, made the drive down. I appreciate him for that. And we sat out front of a damn Starbucks. And so you've got people talking in the background, not too loud. I mean, I can ride the level enough on my recorder, but, you know, the sound of, just the nature sounds, a car pulling up, the background ambient noise. And I thought that added something to the podcast that I've not been able to replicate since. And I'm like, man, I just need to go and do more of these things in public, I think.
Yeah. And I always find myself, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sorry for that truck that just drove by with loud exhaust. But then I say to myself, and I even said it in a podcast before. I don't know if it's published yet or not. I'm starting to get to where I can't remember. But, you know, it's like, no, you know what? I'm not going to apologize because this is where I'm at right now. And if that turns you off, then I'm sorry. But I'm not I'm not apologizing for how I'm doing things right now. I'm just being myself. I'm doing what's easiest for me, what I enjoy. And like I said, I enjoy being able to, when I have a thought, I can talk to my arm and tell that thought to my arm. You know,
I don't think anybody's complaining, man. You're dropping so much fire on these damn podcasts. I don't think anybody's complaining, dude.
Well, that's good. Thank you. Oh, goodness.
What do you think is the ultimate goal with the podcast? I mean, obviously, you know, you've got to the daily episodes. I mean, now what? What is the ultimate goal for the What's Your Something podcast?
You know, it's like my freebie content, you know. I'm starting to see What's Your Something as the big circle in the middle.
Right.
And I'm beginning to think about, okay, what are the lines that are coming out of that circle? Like, what is going to come out of the content that I'm creating with What's Your Something? And I know what I need to do, and I'm starting slowly, and I've done a few, but what, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so content. All right, here we go. So I do the podcast.
Yep.
I take the podcast. What I would love to do is get it transcribed. Okay. Take that transcription, turn it into a blog post,
yep.
Have somebody else do it, cause I don't want to do it, and turn it into a blog post. And then take that same podcast, take a few good quotes out of it, turn it into a video on Instagram or an Instagram story
or Twitter.
Take some quotes from the podcast and make it into an image to throw on Instagram.
I'm sorry, man. Time out. Have you not heard of the Headliner app?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
That's good stuff right there.
Dude, that thing changed the game for me. Now it's short form, transcriptions. They could do, you know, short form transcriptions. You can now do videos up to 2 hours, I think. So you can do the whole podcast, but I don't know if it transcribes the whole podcast, but dude, this thing is so amazing. Like throwing it into a story, adding a little static image with a little equalizer bars at the bottom, and you got a little transcription. I had so much feedback in replies to those stories more than anything else.
Yep. I'm well aware, and I'm working. That's part of my strategy.
There you go.
I was trying to do like little screen grabs or whatever. Those are just ugly looking. I want, you know, high quality, nice looking with the waveform down there, you know, and it's coming.
The iPhone, the iPhone screen recorder. I don't know if you know this or not, but the iPhone screen recorder will record audio from the podcast app. It won't do it out of the music app, cause I have tried that. I like to share music I like with people, but, with the podcast app, it will play that audio.
Yeah. And it does. And that's what I'd been doing, and it works, it serves the purpose. But I just really want to, up the game in that area, but it's taking the big circle of What's Your Something and figuring out, okay, how can I start turning this into other content?
Yep.
And then how can I take all this content and what can I form it into that can become a product or a part of my services? And so it's still, like I said, still on this journey, and I'm loving it and enjoying it. And, looking forward to the future.
No, I feel you, man. I think you need to throw a little more of a right hook at the end of your podcast, though. Honestly, if I could be honest with you, I think you need to say, "Hey, man, I'm Blake Croft. I'm a kick-ass dude from Tennessee, and I know how to you know help you tell your story, man. You need to contact me. Let me show you the way." Throw them right hooks right at the end of the podcast. Not, you know, I like to always save my plugs at the end. That's just a personal preference. But I think you come on there and you throw them right hooks a little stronger at the end. I think you'll be in a good spot there.
Love it. Great advice. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
So what is your 5-year plan with your business in general? Like, I mean, obviously we talk about the podcast, sharing that content, but as far as, you know, the actual taking on the clients, helping them tell their stories, what is the 5-year plan for all this?
5-year plan. I definitely want to be doing this full time. I mean, for sure. I've got to step into that new season of life. So in 5 years, I got to be out of retail management. It's just got to happen. Yep. It's got to. And that may be coming sooner than 5 years. It could be like a few weeks. I mean, who knows? We no one knows right now.
Yep.
But it's we're working on things. And so it's all coming together. And but, you know, the big thing is working that into becoming a full time thing. And then, you know, I want to work with clients who have dealt with this same crippling fear. And then I want to be able to encourage them and let them know, hey, you can do this. Like, you are in the best time alive to make your something happen, and then give them the resources that they need to make it happen. You know?
Yep.
And I wrote, it's been funny. This Kim Gaskill, she picked me up from the airport, and she's my friend from Snapchat. And she was telling me, she said, "Why are you calling yourself a business coach?" And I was like, "I don't know. I was wondering the same thing." Because that's not what I'm doing here. And I've took it off of most of my, of all of my stuff, except my Facebook page. I am not a business coach because I don't know squat diddly about business.
Right.
I'm learning that myself. But what I can tell you is I can tell you how to take action when you feel like you can't, you know, when you feel like that you have nothing. Why should I, you know, no one would care. No one would want to listen to me. Well, yes, they would. And I'm living proof and I can help you. So kick that fear to the curb, boost your confidence, start believing in yourself, and then go tell your story. And I can help people do that. I can't help them grow their business. That's somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, that gets into numbers and, you know, marketing and ad dollars, but I can tell you how to get that fear out of your head. So it's more, you know, it's more business storytelling coach. You know, I'll help you tell your story of how you're becoming into this business world. And so that's, I changed my tagline on Instagram, Better Business Storytelling, because I thought, what would people want to search for if they had the problem of fear or telling their story? And it would be, you know, better business storytelling. So
no, I like it. I like it. I think if they got you to tell the story, and then they get somebody like a Cliff Ravenscraft who does that kind of business consulting, that's a great 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, and it's cool that I've understood that and learned that, because then I don't have to try to be somebody that I'm not. You know,
yeah.
I don't have to say, I'm a business coach. I can help you grow your business by thousands, 10,000. No, I can't. I can't, because I ain't making squat.
Right. You're still trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah. I can't tell you how to build a business when I can't, you know, when I'm still building my business, you know, but I can tell you how to take action, and I can encourage you and inspire you and educate you on the tools that you need and the motivation that you need within your brain to get you moving. So
that is fire, man. And I see you're on the road. You're in Ohio now. You're going to Houston very soon. Is that is it, you like the traveling aspect of this gig?
I do. The only part I hate about the traveling aspect is leaving home, especially with a new daughter. I wish I could just take them both with me.
Yeah.
And one day I will. Like, if I ever, and that's one thing, if I ever, you know, do pursue the speaker life, which I do want to be a speaker.
Me too.
Like, I dream of that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to speak before crowds. And if it ever comes to the point where I begin getting booked to speak, you know, my wife and daughter will be following me. Like, I want to be able to have that kind of, you know, financial resources coming in to allow us all as a family to do this thing together.
Right.
I don't want it to always just be about Blake Croft. When I don't know if you've seen it, but Harley was on a podcast with me yesterday or the day before. And the image that I used when I had Harley on there, like, when I seen us together on that image and the way it looked, I was almost like, okay, what are you doing here, God? Like, this is pretty cool looking. Like, are you saying something? And I was thinking, wouldn't it be, I just don't know. I don't know what's in store for us together, but I know that we're a good team as a husband and wife, and I would love to see us, you know, do something in business and travel together. And because it would also give Avery an awesome life just seeing the country and stuff. So,
no, I love that. I love the travel. That was actually where I was going next. It's like, you know, the support of your spouse, you know, because I know early on, you know, my wife, she is so on board. She loves what I do. I think early on, maybe she didn't quite understand it at first, but, you know, she eventually saw. And how was that? Like when you first came to Harley and you're like, hey, this is what I'm doing or this is what I want to do. Did you initially have the support day one or was it a gradual process or how did that all go?
You know, I want to think it was from day one. I mean, of course, you have your little hiccups where, you know, like you don't understand, they don't understand it. And that's understandable because they're just in a different mindset than we are.
You of know, course. Hey, hey,
you know, with us being on social media, we're on nerd. We're nerds.
Exactly. So, it's like, it's like, hey, Blake, I need you to go and work at that grocery store, man. You need to bring in this money, man. You don't got time to be doing all that dreaming stuff. Play it on your Instagram.
Exactly. And, you know, yeah, you think, and that happens, you know, it's like,
sure.
So, and she's made the comments before, I'll be like, yeah, I need to save like, I don't know, $500 to do this. And she's like, well, just go and make some money. And I'm like, if only it were that easy.
Yeah.
And of course it's all in fun, but you know, it's just like, if only it were that easy. And, but you know, one day she won't have to say that because I will be, you know.
Yeah,
that you have to believe that much in yourself and what you're doing. You know, you have to believe that, you know, one day I'm gonna be making some money doing what I love and living out my passion and telling my story boldly. You have to believe that, and you have to tell yourself that and speak it into your life. And because positive reinforcement goes a long way.
No, I agree. There is no more. I said this in a podcast a few weeks ago. There is no more I hope or I wish. Yeah, yeah. There is, or even I think there is, I know I will do this. Like I talked about, I know I will move to South Carolina. That is a huge thing on my list. And to take the apparel, to take the book I'm writing, to take, you know, the speaking I eventually want to do. I want to do all this and operate it from South Carolina. I don't want to operate it from Virginia. The quality of life here stinks. The traffic stinks. Right. Sometimes the people are very rude. I go to South Carolina and I'm at ease, man. And I've spent long time down there.
Cause you're in the South, brother.
That's right, man. Yeah. how's Tennessee, by the way? I mean, is that someplace you want to land permanently or where are you at with Tennessee?
Tennessee is a beautiful place. I don't know if I would want to move. If I would want to move away, I do want to move. But yeah, then again, it's like, you know, you live somewhere and you take it for granted sometimes. We live in probably the most beautiful part of the country. I really believe that.
Right.
We're right at the heart of the Smoky Mountains. I mean, it's a really pretty place. But no, I don't see myself there forever. You know, I could be somewhere else in Tennessee. I wouldn't mind like being in Nashville. I kind of think I love the big city life. But, you know, who knows? I'm at a point in my life right now where like the sky's the limit. Like if opportunities arise and it means moving, you know, and it's good for our family, hey, let's do it, you know. And Harley's getting there. She's not all the way there. You know, she'd have to think about it long and hard. But for me, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Are you both born and raised from Tennessee or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How'd you guys meet? What's the story behind that? We got to get a little personal here. How did that all come down?
We actually met, she was like 12, right? And I was like maybe 15.
Okay.
And 14 probably. Yeah. Cause we were 2 years apart and we were at a talent show and she, met me there and like major, like you could tell she had like a kid crush on me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but never said anything or whatever. And then we got together in high school and after her senior year, it was 2 months later and we were married.
Wow. So you guys have been together for a while.
Yeah. This, coming up next month, we'll be married 5 years.
Oh man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's,
and who knew that like 5 years we'd already have a baby. I mean, that like Avery wasn't like planned, but she wasn't unplanned, you know?
Sure. So, well, you never really plan for a baby, Blake. It just doesn't happen.
You don't. You really can't.
it just happens. Is that kind of what happened for you? It just kind of happened?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It just kind of happened. But, oh, goodness, I wouldn't trade her for nothing.
I hear you, man. I can't imagine. Having a kid is definitely on the, as silly as it sounds, is on the bucket list. The thing is, I'm the last Cantrell. So like when I die, there's no more Cantrells left. So like I need a little Gary Lee Cantrell number three to be popping around here.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it. Yeah. I think there's only two of us Croft guys left. I mean, I'm sure there's other Crofts somewhere, but we're the only two that I know of in my family. There's me and my cousin. My cousin, Jonathan, he hasn't had a baby yet. And I have, but she's a girl, so she won't carry the last name.
Right.
So I got to have me a boy soon or something. Jeez.
I hear you, man. I mean, I'd be happy either way with a boy or a girl, but a boy is definitely the preferred because I want to carry on that name and keep it going.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dude, I've had a blast chatting with you here for this last nearly hour. This has been such a blast. I appreciate your time, Blake. Here's what I'll say. We'll end this on such a high note because right now we're in the most exciting time. We're talking a little bit at the top about Instagram TV and that just launching today. So for those of you that are listening a few weeks from now, you'll kind of understand when this was recorded, but I mean, let's close on that because it's just such a landmark day, a huge deal. I mean, this is going to change strategies for so many people and how they put out their content. And I bet you've already been sitting there thinking how you've been running around all day having a blast, but I bet you've been thinking in the background of your mind, okay, what's the strategy here, right?
Oh, it's a game changer. I mean, like we were kind of talking about there at the very beginning. You know, I had had thoughts about YouTube. I know YouTube's important, but like I've been hanging out on Instagram and then Instagram launched IGTV and I'm thinking, holy moly. And then, so I've already got, and it may be published by now. I don't even know because I'm on Skype, but I've already got an IGTV video up.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out when we disconnect here.
Yeah, if it's uploaded anyways, but it's over my day one thoughts of the conference here and just talking about the IGTV announcement. So it's a polished video. That's the thing. People have got to realize what IGTV is meant for. Like, it's long form video. Yep. So I get that people are going to test it at first, but we're going to have to understand and realize like this is for polished content, like the stuff that you would edit and add music and effects and, you know, an intro title screen or whatever, you know, it's not like Instagram stories and it's not like Instagram Live. So you have to take this as, you know, this could literally be your TV channel. I mean, your long form quality content that you could put out there. And there's a lot of, you did it. It was you. I seen it on yours where you can like link to it by swiping up. That's awesome.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I saw that.
That's so cool. How did you do that?
So when you go to post a story, let's just say you record your 15 seconds. Hey, it's Blake here. Just post a new video, swipe up, right? So at the very top of the screen where you've got like the little picture of the smiley face where you would normally tap to get all your GIFs and all that other stuff, to the left of that, there should be like a little link icon now. It almost looks like the Snapchat little link button as if you were going to send a link. Okay. And so once you click on that, it'll say, now you only have swipe up for the Instagram video. Now swipe up, you know, with external sites is still for 10,000 and up, but it will say, once you click the button, it'll say you want to link to an IGTV video and it'll actually show you a few thumbnails of your whatever videos that you've uploaded.
Love it.
Yes.
Did you know you can upload custom thumbnails?
I did. I'm definitely see. Here's the thing. Okay, because I kind of pissed my wife off a little bit. I'll share this very very quickly. She sent me out to go get lime juice. Okay, because she was making guacamole and tacos. We were a day late. Normally it's Taco Tuesday. Today it's Taco Wednesday. But she was making guacamole. Absolutely crushed it, by the way. But she said, "Damn, I forgot the lime juice. Will you go out and pick up lime juice?" And I'm sitting here just playing on on my phone all afternoon, Instagram TV, checking it out. And I'm like, wait a minute, let me make a quick little vlog. And it ended up being under 2 minutes, but I think that that's a sweet spot. And I just made this slickly produced. It's got transitions from shot to shot of me going down, taking down the trash, talking about IGTV, driving to the grocery store, walking around the grocery store, taking the lime juice off the shelf, you know, all this stuff. And if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's only like a minute 44. But it's like this slickly produced with transitions, and it looks so clean and so nice. And I looked at this and I thought to myself, okay, this could potentially be for me, for what I do, a daily upload where I could literally film videos like I would do on my story, but maybe a little bit longer. And then at the end of the day, I'll use an app like InShot, which is a tremendous app. If you don't have this app, you got to get this app, but I'll take that and I'll then take all these video clips, edit them down, make them nice and slick with the transitions, and upload maybe a 3 to 5 minute video on a daily basis. Here's my day. And this becomes the new daily vlog. I was talking about this with Professor Nez. I don't know if you know him. He was doing a Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and we were going back and forth about this, riffing about it. And he was talking about, you know, Facebook Watch came out and it was kind of a bomb. And I came back at him. I said, look, you know, that thing kind of bombed because it was targeted towards celebrities. Only celebrities could create videos within Facebook Watch. Now, anybody could apply, but I applied, and I know a lot of people that applied, and they never heard a thing back. Instagram TV, they just say, hey, boom, anybody can do this. And that's the difference. They're putting it in the power of real people's hands, and now it's up to us to deliver quality content.
Yes. It's exciting. Like, I'm stoked.
I can't sleep tonight. Like, we're going to literally get off this call in a few minutes, and I'm going to do the part where I go and lay down in bed and attempt to sleep, but it's just not going to happen. I'm going to be up on Blake A. Croft on Instagram, checking out your IGTV video. I'm going to be swiping through to see who else has posted IGTV. I'll probably post one more before I go to sleep. And it's just, I'm not even gonna be able to sleep because this is so exciting. And people that are just finding out about this, they might think it's crazy or might be annoyed, but I'm telling you, this is going to be the norm inside of 1 year or less. This is going to be the new norm. Yeah. This thing is taking over. People don't even realize this thing will take over.
Yeah.
100%.
I agree. Go and check out, pull up iSocial Fans. He did a 9 minute and 44 second.
I saw it.
IGTV of all of us in the party bus today.
No, dude, I don't know him yet, but I did follow him. I saw him in your story this morning. I said, who is this guy? Okay, so I followed him. I seen he's from Virginia as well. I didn't even know this.
He's amazing. Like, he's one to follow.
I saw he followed me back, so I'm gonna have to open up some dialogue, get a little social with that, and we'll have to talk.
Yes, and he will reply. He is very social. Great guy.
I love that. There's nothing I hate more than reaching out to people and hearing nothing. Kills me.
Exactly. Same. It's like, why are you even on social media? Especially if they call themselves social media marketers. That kills me.
I'll put it to you this way, Blake. If Gary freaking V can reply to somebody's DM, and he does this all the time, then Joe Blow with 1,000 followers who thinks he's the shit, like, he can reply to people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dude, I've had a blast. Thank you so much. I know we've been going back and forth trying to get this thing to work out. You've been busy. I've been busy, but I appreciate the fact that while you're out of town, you took time to jump on Skype, jump on a call with me, and do this podcast, man. Thank you so much. It means the world to me, Blake.
No doubt about it. And guys, if you want to connect with me, you know, you can find me at blakecroft.com. You can find me on Instagram at Blake A. Croft. If you want to chat with me, I say this on my podcast, you just go to blakecroft.com/say hello, click on get started, and we can have a conversation.
That's the way to do it. That's what I did. I clicked the button and we started talking, and just like that, we're buddies now.
Yes.
We gotta connect, man. We gotta meet up in person at some point. We're gonna, you know what? Yes. Here's the thing. I know I said I'm ending. I'll end it on this. I've never been to any of these conferences, but I feel like at some point I need to make that one of my top five things I do in the next year or whatever, is plan to go to one of these conferences. We gotta link up, brother.
Yes, for sure. They're a blast. You learn a lot and you get to just network and meet a lot of great people. So
I love it. Well, I'll tell you this, man, have a blast. How much longer are you there?
Tomorrow's the last day. So get up early in the morning, finish out the day, and head out tomorrow night back home.
There you go, brother. Well, enjoy the rest of your time there in Ohio. Thank you for taking some time to chat with me on the podcast. And I do appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.